Hey everybody, and welcome to the JLG My Boys podcast. This is the fourth episode of the podcast, and I am so sorry. I said I was going to have episode four of My Boys out by Friday, but I'm actually a little off because I'm a little behind the times, and I had to create a schedule for, because I have four podcasts, as many of you may know. The JLG My Boys, Grey's Anatomy, Numbers, and the Wonderful Women of Television podcast. And so I had to create posting dates because otherwise I, like a calendar kind of, so that everyone knows when which podcast comes out when, so I know when to record what podcast, blah, 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 what podcast when. Anyway, oh yeah, my name is Jessie. Forgot to mention that. So in this podcast, I'm going to be covering episode number 4 and 5 of the My Boys series. Episode 4 is called The Slump, and episode 5 is called The Show. If you've not seen it, you can pause the podcast if you want. You can go check it out at tbs.com and check out their full video section, full episode video section, or you can go to AOL Video and you can check it out on there, type in My Boys, and it should bring you directly where you need to be. The benefit to watching it on AOL Video is that there aren't interruptions in between the three parts. Like, it's the full episode, but there's little teeny tiny interruptions, but they're not like on ABC where it's like a full-out commercial. Anyways, I haven't seen episode 4 in like a week, so I'm going to be a little bit rusty. I have my notes, which, as if you didn't notice last week, they can be quite cryptic. Apparently it's something that I'm well known for. So we come in, and the boys are pretty cranky because they're in a slump, and it's compared to a baseball slump, but it's about a dating slump where they don't have any girls, they don't have any dates, they don't have any one-night stands, they have nothing. And so they're all a little bit cranky. And then Kenny and Mike have this fight between the two of them about how you're stupid, and like just a classic Kenny and Mike fight, which, as I'll mention in the episode 5 section, is one of my, they have some of the greatest fights ever. Andy's cranky because of his marriage to Meredith and how Meredith is just pretty obnoxious, from what we can see at this point anyway. And then Kenny and Mike have another Kenny and Mike moment, where they have a shut up fight about who should shut up. And, let's see. Then PJ wants to go out with the guys. There's like, see what they're all doing tomorrow because there's something big going on. And, the guys are all giving her ridiculous excuses of what they can, why they can't go out with her. And so she eventually gets them to find out that they are going out for a boys' night out, and they're going on a hunt. They're going to go pick up girls. And the girls are the prey, and they're going to, I almost said slaughterhouse. I believe they're going to the Slug House, which is known for their dirty, skanky girls. And she's pretty disgusted with the boys. And that's, I don't even know what this is, transition is, but then I have that Bobby and PJ are still good friends even after the weirdness they had over Claire, his girlfriend, and he is dating her. And then we go to Stephanie, who is trying to order fancy food at a bar, and she comes back and she's kind of distraught about it, and PJ's like, did you try to ask someone about something fancy? And she said yes. It was a little funny. I like Stephanie a lot because she's very, like, she's trying to be one of the guys, kind, not really, but she, like, tries to hang out with him, but she really can't, because in the end, she will always be a girly girl. And then we have her and PJ talking, and this is the first time that PJ has, in a long time, not had a crush on anybody. Not even, like, a TV crush or whatever, like a celebrity crush, which is unusual for her. And Stephanie is trying to give her some ideas of what she can do. But then PJ wants to be, she wants to go out with the guys. She's in a slump too, and so she wants to go out with the guys, and she wants to be their wing person, and they kind of have a problem with her changing wingman to wing person, which I guess I could see. It's kind of funny though, but they really try to fight her off, and they're like, no, we don't want you to come, blah, 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 you can't come. You're not a guy. This is wrong. But then she said she's buying drinks for the whole night, and then she's suddenly in, which I think is hilarious. And this is while they're at a bar, I believe. And then they all go ahead and they take a shot. But the funniest part is probably that PJ takes some shot, but she doesn't know whose it is. And I think that's one of my all-time favorite moments. Anyway, and then the guy doesn't really notice until like they're on their way out the door. And the point of that area was they'll do anything to get out of a slump. And so now they're at the bar, and they're doing Jaeger, which is disgusting, in my opinion. But then PJ tries to help Mike, and She's like helping him out, giving conversation, building him up, making him sound more exciting and whatever, but it's really not working out for her because then she kind of gets a little pesky and she's becoming friends with this girl, kind of like all of a sudden Mike is no longer there, which is sad and funny at the same time. Then Mike, this happens more than once and with another a couple guys, but then Mike and the group are frustrated and they want to get their girls, so they bring this really creepy, like not creepy but really nerdy guy that's really the outcast, and his name is Ed, and he wants to, and they're like, have you met Ed? And she's like, no. And he starts talking about like museums, and then she's like, what is going on? Because this guy is just total nerdville, and it's just, he's just there to keep her busy. And then we have Andy's building this farm thing for his daughter because his daughter's birthday is coming up, and he told his wife that he would do it. And so he thought he bought the easy one, but like an ant farm or something. But in the end, he bought something, and he was having a really hard time putting it together. And then, so let's see. It says PJ ruined it, and she tried to use the metaphor they mentioned. People will trade. Okay. So then they're talking about how baseball teams will trade players that are unnecessary or whatever, and so she said, saying like they were gonna trade her, which is still really cryptic to me, and I can't seem to make it out. Sorry about that. And then so PJ and Steph are having a talk about how like she just had a really, PJ had a really bad night, wasn't the best of nights, she wished it had gone better. But then Stephanie and her are gonna go out on a sophisticated girl night where PJ, when they're trying to set a date to go out to like a fancy bar, PJ is busy on the days when sports are on the television, and Stephanie is busy when the OC is on the television, which is funny to me. Just, it shows how different they really are. And then we have Kenny can't play Battleship. Oh, Kenny can't play Battleship because he's like, when you have to call off the numbers and like it only goes through like N or something, he's like Z4 and or like something obnoxiously wrong, and I think it's just pretty funny. And then he steals Brendan's phone because I don't know where Brendan went, but then he realizes, he's looking through it and he realizes that he and his and Brendan's ex-girlfriend Wendy, his on again and off again girl, they've had lots of contact, they've had a lot of calls going through each way. And then, so that makes people really suspicious of Brendan. But then we cut over to the super fancy dinner with PJ and Stephanie, where PJ is a little disturbed by the fact that the drinks are so small, which is very funny. And then, she screams the word vagina too loud, which is also quite hilarious. She just doesn't really seem to fit in. Like, she looks like she would fit in, but, like, it's just that total cliche saying, you know, you can take the girl out of the bar, but you can't take the bar out of the girl or the guy, I don't know, for lack of better words. Anyway, and then she goes to the bar to try to get some beer, but all they have are really obscure beers, which she's not really sure. And then this great guy, he's very handsome and good looking, and PJ, he tries to help PJ by telling her, you know, this is the closest thing you're gonna get to any of those. And so she really hits it off with that guy, and they're talking and things are going well with them. Then we come back to PJ's apartment, and PJ and Brendan are back talking together, and I don't know. That's all I have. PJ and Brendan are back together. Anyways, so then we have Brendan and Bobby. They aren't actually in a slump because technically, well, Bobby's got a girlfriend, and I don't know what Brendan's got, you know. but he thinks PJ should write a book. I don't know why. There you go. And then to Gary. He, as in the guy in the bar, thinks that PJ should write a book, and it'd be interesting. And she really likes that they can talk, and it's not talking about sports. It's talking about real life things that are just totally something that she doesn't usually experience. And then they talk about, she jokes about taking him to Gary, Indiana on their next date, which implies that they are having a next date. They are really hitting it off, and that's really exciting because it's somebody different for PJ. And then the end is basically, in order to have a good relationship, maybe you should start acting like an adult. Because acting like you're hunting for prey isn't working, obviously. So try having a for real relationship, was her idea. Okay, so I'm going to go over a few of my favorite moments and quotes. I liked it when, I don't even remember, it was with Kenny, I believe, when he was trying to give her an excuse of why he couldn't go out with her in the beginning-ish. And he says, I'm volunteering at a dog rescue place. And she's like, oh, which one? Maybe I'd want to come. And she's like, Lassie, come home. Which is obviously not, yes, okay. I don't really need to explain that. And, oh, I don't remember what the context of this was, but PJ in that same area says, I'm calling bullshit, which is pretty funny to me. Just the way she said it, and, oh, boys and I, the girls are prey. Okay. And then, I like it when Stephanie says, I'm working on crushes, on 7 crushes, like, online. I just thought it was pretty funny. When they walk into the bar and PJ says, I think I just caught chlamydia. I think that is a priceless line. And that's one of my favorites. And then I also, for my disgust in Jägermeister alcohol, I enjoy it when she says, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this disgustingly. And she takes she orders them all Jäger. And then when they leave her with Ed, I like it when PJ says, if this were an actual hunt with actual guns, I would be able to kill Ed and turn the gun on myself and on Kenny and Mike, which is pretty funny. I think I missed a word in there, but I definitely enjoyed that as well. And let's see here. Now, I have a review here from an unknown person. If you recognize this, you can email me, be angry or whatever, but, or you can own up to it. And it says, okay, the slump was great. PJ and the guys go out hunting for new loves or just one night stands. And, at their hunting spot, PJ makes the night worse for the guys, like, just like they thought she would. She goes from Mike to Kenny and ruins their prospective dates. They ban her from the guys' night out from now on. And then Stephanie decides to take PJ out on a girls' night. Things turn out really well for PJ. She meets this really hot guy who has a good job and is really charming. I guess her slump is over, for now at least. And, yes, I definitely enjoyed that. that's a really good small summary of it, like, if you needed to know what happened. Anyway, this person... Oh, sorry. Did my microphone just do a weird noise? Sorry. said, it was alright. The episode wasn't the best I have seen. It was good, but not the best. I wasn't a big fan of Hank. I mean, sure, he was only on the screen for maybe less than 10 minutes, but he just doesn't impress me. I thought the guys were funny when they were like, we're going hunting. I was like, haha. And PJ was hilarious when she was supposed to be helping them and ended up messing it up. I agree that you don't really get a good scene of Hank here, so if you're not a big fan of Hank now, I don't know if you will be later. He, no, I'm getting my episodes confused up. All I have to say is you didn't really get a lot of time with him, and he seemed a little pretentious maybe in the first few episodes, but I think that was the point, was that he was so different from the rest of the guys. So, overall, I think it was a fairly good episode. So now we're going to go on to the second. I also did episode number 5, and I'm going to include it in here. So your podcast is going to be a little bit longer. Hopefully not too much longer. Okay. So I saw this one last night. It's much more clear in my mind. here's my weird thing that I do is, let's be honest, and tell you that the opening font is really odd to me. I don't like their choice. I don't know why they chose it. There. Not an important part of the episode or the show, but it really does bother me. There's nothing else you can do. Anyway, so she's dating Hank, so it's like she's been called up into the major leagues, because he's above where she is. And let's see. Then they're having Asubuko, I don't even know what that is, but then they really talk about going to Italy, and, like, he wants to bring her to Italy because there's some great, like, food, I think that's what it is, and it was really cute the way they were talking, and they were talking long term, which I thought was very fascinating. Let's see here, and then we have, then they have a moment at the door, and they're saying goodnight, and it's a little awkward because there's a lot of silence because they're not really sure what they want to, like, you know, what the other person wants or what they should do, what's appropriate at this point. But in the end, they finally kiss after a little bit of awkward silence, and then we see them wake up in bed. So we know that things went well for them. So they're hungry, so they're going to go to breakfast, and so they go to this, I believe it's a cafe, I don't really know. Sorry, my microphone's really off. Okay. Anyway, then when they're there, she sees Brendan, her friend, and she kind of hides from him, and it kind of weirds Hank out a little bit, but that was a really quick moment. And Brendan is kissing his ex, Wendy, and he said he was staying with, he said he was staying with his parents this weekend. I don't know where they're from. I probably should know, but anyway. PJ's distraught about this, and it's a little bit funny, and she goes home and tells Andy, no, she's trying to tell Andy, and I don't, like, Andy's kind of preoccupied because his plot line, his B story in this episode is that he and his wife are looking for a house in the suburbs, which also makes PJ extraordinarily distraught. She's very unhappy about this, and I'm just very amused by it. It makes me laugh a whole lot. And apparently to PJ, suburbs pretty much equal death. You're pretty much forgotten, just like Eric and Cindy, who Andy cannot seem to remember at this point. Then PJ tries to, you know, feel Brendan out and be like, how was your weekend? How was the folks? And she's like, I talked to your mom. And he tries to lie, and he does it really badly. He lies very badly, and then she tells him that she knows. And he's like, well, why'd you make me go through all that? But, you know, she wanted him to tell her, which obviously didn't happen. Let's see. Next we have, and then PJ is very judgmental of this, but when he mentions that he loves her so much he's going to propose to her, PJ tries to act supportive. She tries really hard. Then we have Stephanie loves Hank, as does PJ, and they're loving the relationship is so different, and now PJ is, quote, grown-up dating, which I think is pretty cool. It's pretty interesting, because she had just talked about in the previous episode how if you act like an adult, you're going to get a real relationship, and that's what she's found has actually worked for her. And then, let's see, Stephanie is mad at Brendan because when PJ tells her that Brendan is going to ask Wendy to marry him, she's upset because, Brendan is going to get married before her. And then we find out, like, Stephanie's picked out her dress, she's narrowed it down to 3 pairs of shoes, she's just like, has he been planning his wedding his whole life? And it's just a little funny because it's totally irrelevant to the entire subject, but that's Stephanie for you. And then PJ, you know, she's like, no, we have to act supportive, and she gives this big supportive speech, but then Stephanie laughs and is like, wow, that was really great, and PJ's like, yeah, I've been working on it all day. So we see that PJ is going to be supportive because she's a good friend, but at the same time, she can't agree with it. Let's see. Boys, Thursday night, next fight. Oh, they have this really funny fight, and I think it goes back to the Mike and Kenny arguments that are really funny, and that's about next Thursday, and they're like, which one was next Thursday, what's this Thursday, what's going on, like, what Thursday, because they got their Thursdays mixed up, because PJ moved poker night from the Thursday that the guys actually showed up to a week later, and so they were just fighting about what's next Thursday, and I think it was really funny. And the boys really want to meet Hank, and they're going to because Hank is coming to pick her up, and they're going to the opera. And, anyway, Andy is owned by Meredith, and he gets a phone call with this terrible phone ring, and the guys do make fun of him, and they're like, fun of him, and he's like, that's not a phone ring. And, he has to go see a house in Naperville, which is pretty much, according to these guys who are Chicago, city people, is pretty much Nowheresville. It's like the desert. And it angers all of them. And then Andy, Hank comes in, and, they're all meeting him, and they're being introduced, and I thought it was really sweet that we got to see that, you know, Andy is PJ's brother, because he plays the brother card and says, you know, you hurt my sister, I'll be really pissed. Although, And then we have another fight between Kenny and Mike about we two and us two. And it's really funny. I enjoyed that too. And they find out that Hank doesn't play poker. And the boys are just appalled by this. And I just think it's funny because, like, to them, if you don't play poker, you're nothing. It's just like living out in the suburbs. You can't live out in the suburbs, and you can't not play cards. And so they're a little mad. Anyway, the boys, maybe they didn't go to the opera that night. I don't know. Okay, so then the boys are bitter the next time they hang out. In this point, I kind of see that she is the glue that's holding them together. She's the social center. They not only gather around her place, but she sets up when they gather. She, keeps them all together. She gives them activities to do. She keeps them grounded. And so she's very important to their friendship, and they're just kind of starting to notice that. And then PJ says dicking around, and people, like, joke with her, and they get, like, angry, kind of, and it's an angry sarcasm, I guess. But then she talks about how she's going to see the opera with Hank, and the guys are mad because they wanted to get together with her. But, and then Bobby says something intelligent related to the opera, and the boys were just absolutely ridiculously confused. I believe he said, like, mezzo-soprano, which to me is just second nature that it's, you know, a range when you sing. And they were just like, what in the world are you talking about? And the boys are holding a big grudge against PJ, which is a little unfair because they are grown up. She's not their mother, as she does mention later. She's not their mother. She doesn't need to set up their social engagements. It's fine. But, then PJ is practicing listening to the opera and trying to get inspired, I believe, for her date when Brendan walks in and begs her to stop playing the opera because he just cannot stand it, which does make me laugh. I did enjoy that. And then, okay. She tries to be supportive of Brendan because he's going to ask Wendy to marry him tonight. And he does buy it, I believe. So I don't have it written down if he does or not, but yes. And then we see the boys at Mike's apartment, which is so incredibly empty, and no one wants to stay there because there's nothing to do. Like, there's a chair and a basketball. You can sit on the basketball, and I believe Bobby, or someone does, they, like, he gets the basketball first. But, Mike was like, they decide they're going to leave, but Mike was like, don't you guys want to watch Project Runway? And I believe his TV's name was Frank, which I thought was also very funny. So then we have PJ in the car on her way to the opera. She's venting about the boys and how they're being obnoxious. But then we go to Kenny's house. I missed this part. Like, I remember it, but I missed it. I don't know. Must not have been paying attention. But Kenny has a lot of shirts. They go to Kenny's place, I guess, as a supplemental place to Mike's because Mike's was so lame. But Kenny's just got, like, hundreds of shirts, and I think that's funny, too. But then we go to one of the funnier scenes of this episode, and it's the proposal when Brendan is getting prepared. They're on a picnic. They're in the park. It's beautiful. The moon is out. And then Brendan pulls out this wine, and he's all ready and whatever, except for the problem is he's trying to open it, and he just he spills it all over Wendy, and it's red wine. It's a new shirt. She's a little frustrated. She's now sticky, too, which really being sticky really bothers me, so that's definitely a big problem. And then he totally is, like, going in the bag, and I can't remember if he was going in to get the ring or not. Someone can email me and correct me, but he totally elbows her in the face, and it's really funny. And then he decides, you know, I'm going to lay down all these gimmicks aside, and you know what? I'm just going to ask you. And then it cuts to the opera, and PJ looks like she is dying. She's not sitting up straight. She's like, has her hand in her head in her hand, and she's just like, she looks miserable. But then you see Hank, and he too looks miserable. He looks just like PJ, and he's like, and then they leave because it's terrible, and they both feel like they're dying. And I believe the opera was in German, he said earlier, which would really get to me, too. Like, if it was in English, maybe it'd be much different because there's a story to follow, but I can't follow something that I have no understanding of. And then PJ gets a text from Kenny, and it's explaining that Mike's place sucks and Kenny's got a... maybe she gets a text from Bobby. I don't actually remember, but anyway, she gets a text about how, you know, Kenny's got a billion shirts and whatever. But then Hank and her are talking, and, you know, she's like, no, I want to spend time with you, Hank. But in the end, we find that Hank is a good guy, and he's letting her be with her guy friends and play poker, and they'll just meet up later. Which is when we cut to the house, and We find out that Andy has bought the house in Naperville, and he finally recalls Eric and, I want to say Eric and Deborah, but you know what, that might be, Eric and Cindy. Eric and Deborah would be the Will and Grace characters stuck in my head. Okay. And then Brendan comes back, and he's like, she said no, and he's all solemn, but then in reality we found out that she said yes. So that's pretty much where the episode leaves off, and the gang is back together. Some of my favorite moments is when Hank and PJ see Brendan and his ex Wendy kissing, and PJ just explained that Brendan was going to see his mother this weekend, and Hank goes, wow, he's very close to his mom. And I just thought that was really funny because, I don't even know. Like, from an outsider's perspective, it's probably not that funny. When I was watching it, I thought it was hysterical. And then, so, Andy says that Meredith wants to move to the suburbs. And PJ goes, what? And you're going with her? Like, PJ is so appalled by this fact. And to me, it is so funny. As you can hear in my voice. Sorry. Okay. And then we have PJ also, again, overreacting to Brendan getting back together with Wendy, saying, I think it's the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the land. I like that she used the land as opposed to, like, the world or whatever. Like, the land. It's just, it's funnier to me. Let's see. And then, again, my favorite parts are probably the Mike and Andy fights. Like, the we two and the us, we two versus us two. Like, do they say we two? Do we say us two? And then they have this, then they keep repeating we two over and over and over. And it's like a song or something. I don't even know. And then the next Thursday fight, though, yeah, that's like classic. I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed the scene of the proposal when Brendan kept, like, smacking into people. It was pretty funny. I didn't find any information regarding, like, how people felt about this episode and whatever. But I was able to find some really funny quotes that other people enjoyed. And this is where Brendan has told everyone that he's going to propose to Wendy. And Andy says, yeah, trust me, Brendan, marriage is not something to be entered into. And then he just stops, and he's like, yeah, that's all I got. Like, everyone was like, people were going to say marriage is not something to be entered into quickly or rashly. Like, I just think, I enjoyed that. And then we have PJ when she and Stephanie are talking about her and Hank's relationship. And she says, I've never dated anyone like Hank before. He makes plans. And then we do those plans. And they're, like, fancy plans. I enjoyed that we do those plans. They not only make them. That totally reminded me of Will and Grace, where they made all these plans, but they were never going to do them. They never had any intention of doing them. And then when Leo comes in and they actually have to do it, and they were like, oh, we just talk about them. We don't do plans. I thought that was really funny. Okay, so my goal. I'm going to tell you it's my goal because from now on, as per usual, the JLG My Boys podcast will continually be scheduled to come out on Tuesdays until this summer, until we figure out what's going on, because I feel like it could be really confusing. I don't know if they're going to do the same kind of release dates they did in December, which was very confusing, especially when, like, every new episode came out in 1 week. Anyway, if that happens, we'll just have to come to it and see what's up with that, because I don't know how to fix it. And when My Boys is an off season after this particular season, my guess is what I want to do probably is go ahead and pick it up every other week and maybe do, like, character analysis of all the main characters, PJ and the guys and Stephanie, and then if someone else comes into play in season two, we'll go ahead and do that. And then we'll just keep hoping that My Boys is going to be picked up for a third season. I'm really excited for the next season to come out, and so that's pretty much that. Just a few side notes. One is I'm chewing gum, and that should be, like, the one thing I'm not allowed to do while I'm podcasting. I do have three other podcasts, which I've mentioned before. The JLG Grey's Anatomy podcast, the JLG Wonderful Women of Television podcast, which just has kicked off this week with the biography on Lauren Graham. And then next week we'll be talking about Gilmore Girls. Maybe 2 weeks, I haven't decided yet. Gilmore Girls is a big subject. And the JLG Numbers podcast, which there's a new episode of Numbers this week, so there will be a new podcast this week, but probably two, because I'm going to put one out today, too. So check those out. If you go on to the, if you want to send in your feedback for the My Boys podcast, go on ahead to jlg-myboys.blogspot.com, and you can send me an audio there. In the upper right hand corner, there's a little icon. It's actually a big icon. You can leave me comments. And also, just to bring your attention to the right hand side, there's a link section, and that links will lead you to like all the other podcasts I have. And hopefully soon I'll be putting a link up from, I just started a TV guide blog. It's under, what is it under? JLG Box Set Queen, all one word, no spaces. You can check out my blog there. That's going to be more general. It's not going to be on My Boys, Grey's Anatomy, or Numbers. It's going to be on anything I feel like, really. I'm also very excited about that. Oh, right. I gave you the blog, jlg-myboys.blogspot.com, and then you can send me email if you prefer. You can send me audio comments via email or anything you deem necessary or want to. It's jlgpodcasting@gmail.com, which is, yeah, that's my email. If you have anything about any other shows, you can send it to that same address. Okay, I'm planning on having episode 6 of My Boys on the 5th episode of the podcast. I'm a little confused. On the next podcast, hopefully it'll be out on Friday, which or even Thursday if I'm lucky. I'll have episode 6 because I meant to be at 6 already.